بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. These are the kalam of our beloved Dada Sheikh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu. The title of this kalam is Naye Jaam o Meena Ata Ho Rahe Hain. Jo har dam khuda pe جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں خیر قہم تو کئی طرح لیکن وہ خیر قہم تو کئی طرح لیکن نئے جام مینا عطا ہو رہے کبھی قلب دے کر کبھی جان دے کر رہے عشق میں با وفا ہو رہے جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں خوشی اپنی ان کی خوشی پر متا کر ہم اب اہل سجن کو صفا ہو رہے کبھی پی رہے ہیں لہو آرزو کا مٹا کر خودی با خدا ہو رہے جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے تجھے وہ مبارک یہ عشق مدام تو تجھے ہو مبارک یہ عشق مدام تو نئے باب الفت کیوں ہو رہے یہ شان کرم ہے کہ نالائقوں پر کرم ان کے ہر دم عطا ہو رہے محبت کی اخترا کرامت تو دیکھو محبت کی اختر کرامت تو دیکھو کہ سلطان ہو کر گدا ہو رہے جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ وکفا والسلام علی عبادی الذین اصطفا. اما بعد, فرینڈز, یس, دیز آر دی اشعار فرام دی کریویسز اینڈ دی ڈیپتھس آف دی ہارٹ آف آور الیکٹڈ دادا شیخ عارف باللہ رومی زمانہ تبریز دورہ حضرت شاہ مولانا محمد حکیم اختر صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ. اینڈ اللہ, دی ڈیپتھ آف دیز آر اوشنز آف نالج, انسائکلوپیڈیاز کین بی ریٹن اباؤٹ دیم. We can just do little translations because we haven't even now put our foot into this field, trying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst the successful ones. This kalam is entitled ke naye jaam meena ata ho rahe hain. That through the grace and fadl and karam and kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening up different doors of his closeness upon us with a little bit of effort. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you come to me walking or I come to you running. You come to me one step, I come to you 10 steps. In this way, when a person makes an effort, now he finds that a change comes about in his life. What were priorities in his life now becomes secondary. And what he used to take for granted now becomes his primary object of life. First it was a problem, it was difficult, he had to sacrifice so much, make an effort just to come for one salah. Now he is waking up for tahajjud salah. First a person didn't have any time to spend to do. So now he is spending all his time in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he is spending his time in tilawat of Kalam-e-Pak. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of a little bit of effort, which is also the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا أَصَابَكْ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنْ اللَّهِ. Whatever comes to you is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Goodness, whatever comes to you is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing from our side. There is absolutely nothing that we can attribute to ourselves. Whatever it is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when gives the tawfiq and now a person just makes a little bit of effort, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him enormously. So in the first stanza, in the first couple of Rizwanullah rahmatullahi alayhi says, جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں. That that person who all the time is trying to come to the closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making an effort, always realizing that how can I reform myself, how can I make my Islah, how can I become a human being, so to say, how can I become a real person with some value, how can I come closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the time this is his concern. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it will be appealing to that person who made akhirat his focus, who made qadr his focus, who made the day of qiyamah his focus. Like that a person, all the time his attention is only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I mustn't displease my beloved, I mustn't displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفَانِ بُتَوْ سَي جُدَا هُو رَهَي, is all the time now becoming separated from everything that is temporary. This world itself is temporary. Now he realizes how temporary this life is, and now he's making an effort towards that which is permanent, that which is to come, the life of the qabr and the life of the akhirah. Then Hazrat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وہ خمرے کہن تو قوی تر ہے لیکن نئے جام مینا عطا ہو رہے ہیں. That the habits of a person, they were ingrained in him. قوی تر, it was very very strong. A person used to tell lies, backbite, do this, do that, all his ways of life. It was ingrained, it was his nature. But now he sees that with a little bit of effort, نئے جام مینا عطا ہو رہے ہیں. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just opening up doors upon him. Now he feels that closeness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he feels the urge that how can I, and then he sits back and takes a deep sigh and just thinks to himself that, oh Allah, how did I spend my life? Like we have been taught here that Umar bachpan ki ho gayi, lekin bachpan nahi gaya. A person is 55 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, but that tomfoolery and that unmindfulness and that neglect, that this life without any direction, that hasn't left a person. But now, when a person makes a little bit of effort, he sees that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening up upon him different doors. Now all the time his concern is different. Now he's going early to the masjid, now he's reading his sunnahs, now he's reading his nawafil, making up for the salah which he has missed in his life, his qada, etc. All the time this is his concern. کبھی قلب دے کر کبھی جان دے کر رہے عشق میں با وفا ہو رہے ہیں. First, we are so disloyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We didn't care. We just led our life however we wanted to. A person was not concerned. halal, haram. It was just pleasure. All the time pleasure. The how can I be enjoy myself? You can see the world at this time. Everything just entertainment, entertainment, entertainment all the time. How can a person just enjoy himself? Now a person realizes that this wasn't my purpose in life. This is not why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me into this world. Now a person realizes his responsibility, and now he turns his focus away from that which is temporary and he puts it into that which is permanent. Now he's all the time making that effort, and wherever he can make up for time that has been lost. Of course, time can never ever be regained. But now, al-ibratu bil-khawatim, that the end portion, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will consider. And that is why it is so important for us to always make this dua like we have been taught here. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدِ ذَرَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. That, oh Allah, do not let us go astray. Do not let us slip from the straight path. After you have shown us, after you have given us guidance, after you have shown us the path, and you have made us realize our object of life and our purpose in this world, then don't let us stray. And وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Oh Allah, give us mercy from your side. Shower your blessings upon us. It is everything from you. It is nothing from our side. The little bit of effort also that we make, that also the tawfiq and ability is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where will we ever be able to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that is what Hazrat Allah rahmatullah is saying. That sometimes a person gives his heart. Sometimes, so to say, he has to sacrifice his life. He feels that I want to do that, as was said on top, that we're khamri kohan, that old way of life. That was saying, now a person feels, hey, there's the group going, there's all the friends going again for fishing, there they are going clubbing, there they are going here, there they are going there. I can also join them. And that habit was so strong, but now he realizes, and he breaks the desire of his. So to say, he sacrifices himself. He gives his life. He puts a spear into his heart. He puts a dagger into his heart and makes the blood of the heart flow for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, kabhi qalb dekar, kabhi jaan dekar, as if to say to him, we are sacrificing our life. Now we are becoming loyal in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's also to the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we are coming closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is pulling us towards Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Allah rahmatullahi wa ta'ala, further says, kabhi pee rahe hain lahu arzu ka, mita kar khudi ba khuda ho rahe hain. It's sometimes drinking the blood of our desires, that we want to do this, we want to do that, like was just said in the couple of before this, that a person desires to do something which is wrong, but he realizes that this is going to displease by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And all the time a person, his object is this, that I should please my beloved. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has become beloved to him. Now Allah is not just a five-letter word in his life. It's not just A-double-L-A-H, or whatever the case may be. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a being. Now he realizes his responsibility. Now he is drawing closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now he gives up all his desires, all his wants. Kabhi, Hazrat says, kabhi pee rahe lahu arju ka, mita kar khudi ba khuda ho rahe. That ego that is in a person, that hubbe-jah, that love for position, and those passions, and all those things which take a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now a person sacrifices all that, that outwardly feels that there may be entertainment there, there's pleasure there, there's fun there, but he realizes that that is just temporary. It is just a little bit of enjoyment for a little while, and after that it is just remorse and regret. So why we regret, why have regret and remorse in the life which is to come, which is permanent and everlasting? Rasulullah rahmatullahi alayhi further says, tujhe ho mubarak ye ashke nadamat naye baab e ulfat ki wah ho rahe hain. That now when a person wakes up in the morning and takes a deep sigh, or just sitting, waiting for the Farz Salah, came a little bit early to the masjid, sitting for a few moments, just self between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the thoughts that are passing through his mind, that feeling of regret and remorse, and now he makes tawbah, oh Allah, I repent to you, Allah make me maaf, Allah, I'm sorry for the life that I have spent, Allah, the things that I have done, how could I have ever done this? How could I ever displeased you? Allah, you are that one who gives us the air to breathe, the water to drink, the clothes that we wear, everything, all your favors, so much upon us, unlimited, innumerable, Allah, so many, you are so kind, so so gracious, and how did I spend my life? And that warm tear comes out from his eye, that tear that can even put out the fire of Jahannam, and now he is coming closer to Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that tear, when that feeling comes into you, this mubarakah, it may be with some congratulations to you upon it, it may be good for you, that through it, now you will come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nay, Babi Ulfat. Now doors of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are going to open up, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to draw you towards Him. Further, Rasulullah rahmatullahi alayhi says, Yashani karam hai, ki nalai khufar, karam unke har dam ata ho rahe hai. This is the favor and grace and mercy and kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that on unworthy souls, a person like me, that what I have done and what type of life I have led and how I have displeased my Lord, how I have displeased my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is His favor, it is His grace, it is His kindness that He is pulling us towards Him. Karam unke har dam ata ho rahe hai. All His favors, His bounties, every split moment of our life we are enjoying the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is His grace. Otherwise if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to take us to task for our actions, and Allah, we wouldn't have even got a sip of water to drink. We wouldn't have even got a whiff of air to breathe. This is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That although we are unworthy, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the mothers of the world, all of them put together from every type of species you can think, the love that they have for their offspring, if it is all put together, it is not even a billionth of a trillionth of a zillionth of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has for His creation. So this is His favor upon we unworthy souls, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still showering us with His ni'mat and His bounties. In the last couple of Hazrat Rahmatullah says, Muhabbati akhtar karamat to dekho, Hazrat Rahmatullah using His own name, but giving us advice that look at the end result of true love. When a person loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now he won't have to be told to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay away from disobedience. Now to stay away from guna won't be an effort. Now it will just be a pleasure, it will become easy. Now to do good actions will be the object of his life. First it was difficult for him, now it is the object and has become so simple for him. So Rasulullah is saying, look at the end result, how strange it is, just when love comes into a person. Now there are so many masalas of love, that it is not something that concerns halal and haram, but that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him do such things, that muhabbat khud sikhati hai adab muhabbat. When a person falls into love, then that love itself will teach the person the etiquettes of love. Now when a person falls in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now automatically you will realize what will take him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what will make him closer to his beloved. So Rasulullah is saying, just look at it. Just the quality of love when it comes into a person, then what is the end result? Ke sultan hokar gada ho rahe hai. That a person may be a ruler of his time, Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayhi, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, Harun Rashid rahmatullah alayhi, all these people crazy in the later years, even Aurangzeb rahmatullah alayhi, that they were kings, they were rulers of their times, but they in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they came into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they were like anybody and everybody else, they stood in one step, but everybody else is equal, and now that love and that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is becoming strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who really have the true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make us realize what is our object and purpose in this life.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Reading from the Kitab Hayat al-Muslimin, the solutions for the problems facing the Ummah. In this chapter, we're reading about the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to learn the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to know about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are certain portions about the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrated, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited the sick and participated in the funeral service in the janaza of people who passed away. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrated, when making musafa with anyone, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not withdraw his hand before that person withdrew his hand, nor would he turn away his face until the other person did not turn away his face. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never seen stretching his legs towards others. When making musafa, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not withdraw his hand before the other person withdrew his hand, nor would he turn away his face until the other person turned away his face. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never seen stretching his legs
toward others. In the Kitab Shamail Tirmidhi are two lengthy narrations from which some sentences will be quoted here. Hazrat Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhu narrates on the authority of their father Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. At home Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divided his time into three periods. In one period he remained engrossed in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. In the other period he engaged himself in fulfilling the rights of his family. One period he reserved for himself. His special period was then further divided between others and himself. The benefits and barakah of this special period were spread amongst the people at large through the medium of the special companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this special period, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted certain distinguished sahaba, that is the ulama amongst the sahaba, permission to sit in his company. In this special time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preferred the distinguished sahaba above others. In this time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam engaged the distinguished group of sahaba in matters of the deen and the ummah. All those who attended came with the motive of acquiring benefits from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Besides the benefit of knowledge, they would also participate in meals with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they departed from his company, they would leave as guides of the deen. This was the atmosphere of the special and distinguished gatherings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Regarding the time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent outside the home, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at all times pleasant and smiling. People would not quarrel in his presence. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not speak until another speaker completed and became silent. He overlooked the disrespect which was in the conversation of a stranger. He did not interrupt a conversation unless it exceeded the bounds of righteousness. He would then intervene and bring it to an end, either by his express prohibition or by leaving the company. This was his attitude with the general public, that is, with those whom he had connection, that is, Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Regarding his attitude towards his enemies, one narration is that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that someone asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, curse the mushrikeen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, I was not sent as one who curses, I was only sent as a mercy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's habit was to even ask for the betterment of his enemies. Occasionally he would supplicate to Allah Ta'ala for protection against his enemies. Inshallah, we'll continue from here. Allah Ta'ala give us perfect to bring this sifat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to our lives also.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before getting on with the subject of tonight, one important, very valuable dua we learned, one friend of ours taught us, that Maulana Abdul Razak sir, who is the principal of Karachi Newtown Madrasa, he used to make this dua, and afterwards they just heard it from him, very valuable dua when we make him suffer. There is also a dua, and they traced it also, they found a reference also. And the dua is very simple. Allahumma sallimni wa sallim minni. When we're traveling, when we sit in the car, all the other duas we read, there is also a very, very valuable dua. Allahumma sallimni, O Allah, keep me protected. Keep me salamat. Wa sallim minni, and keep me protected. Safeguard me that I don't cause any harm to anyone else. Sometimes somebody else comes and bumps into us in the car. Sometimes we bump into somebody, our mistake, and we cause harm, injury, perhaps even death to somebody else. So the short dua is very valuable. Allahumma sallimni, O Allah, protect me. Wa sallim minni. And also, from me, protect other people also. Let me not cause harm to anyone also. So Allah give us tawfiq And to read this dua always, especially when we start our journeys, we sit in the car, and we should be remembering Allah, making our other duas. All the duas are so comprehensive, and so what duas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us. Also, as we heard now from the kitab, that especially at the time of these like pandemics and death, and also with all the things that are being said about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one great thing for us to do is to read a kitab on the seerat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we see in the surat where Allah says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. That is the real climax of the surat. The beginning of the surat is that or the difficulties we have opened up, removed all your difficulties, alam nashrah laka sadrak, etc. So all that will happen when warafa'ana laka zikrak, your zikr will be the most high. And with the zikr of Allah Ta'ala's Rasul, which amongst other things is seerat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we will find that Allah Ta'ala, inna ma'al usri yusra. Whatever difficulties a cursed person have, not one solution, Allah will make many solutions from them. Just by the zikr of Allah's Rasul, that is seerat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salawat, durood sharif on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Allah will make us free for the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. To make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, really if we think, we feel that I haven't got time or anything, or that urge is not enough, it is really a luxury to make the ibadat of Allah. Otherwise a person is so involved in dunya, this work, that work, Allah save us, some illness, some other fights between the family, disputes, all feuds, etc., that you don't get time to make zikr. Whom Allah give time to free himself for the ibadat of Allah. The basics we all have to do no matter what condition, but to make more ibadat, this is a great gift from Allah Ta'ala. That Allah gives it the understanding first of all, and then the opportunity to make the ibadat of Allah. Otherwise, many of us, we might have the opportunity, we don't have that understanding that I must engage more in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. And if we have the opportunity, but there is some other problem, health problem, financial problem, arguments, disputes, etc., illnesses, then a person also, so it's a great gift from Allah Ta'ala. And all this will come by the zikr of Allah's Rasul. Allah's zikr is most high, most superior. The zikr, the seerat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, durood sharif on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of course then following in the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all this draws the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. On that one very important point also is that one for our islah, to correct our lives. There are many ways that we can correct our lives. The most famous and the most experienced and the most proven way is the company of the righteous and the pious. And that is who we feel is righteous and pious, how much we in that person's company. Besides that, and many of us, we don't seem to get the time, or we don't seem to find somebody who we feel is really that righteous and pious person, then read the kitabs of the righteous and the pious. Again, the height of this is Quran Sharif, the surat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then our great, great pious elders. Usually tell a person is living, we still have doubts to this person whether he is really a genuine person or not. But in most cases, after the person has left, then we say, I didn't benefit. Now we realize what a great person. Now read about the lives of our pious elders. This will help us tremendously. Other things that we can do in order to become righteous and pious, to have that urge to do good and the hatred for guna, is do these basic things which brings Allah's rahmat down. تلاوت آف قرآن شریف, ذکر آف اللہ تعالی, درود شریف, all these things bring Allah's rahmat down. The more we will engage in these things, the more we will find our heart will incline towards good, and we will start going towards good. And the sin which we didn't even recognize as sin, we will start recognizing it. And then when we recognize it, but still we can't give it up. I know I've got this weakness, I've got that weakness, but I just get overtaken. Shaitan overpowers me. My nafs overpowers me. Allah will give the strength to overcome this. And a person then will easily be able to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala and stay away from sin. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Today there is all lot of talk of saving lives, to save a life, that and people are prepared so much, we want to change our deen also to save lives. There's to save a life, we have made it a great priority. The people of the world have made it, and we are also influenced by it, that we have to save lives. And really a life is not to be, nobody can save a life. Every soul, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, every soul is going to taste of death. Whether they're going to die of corona, or whether they're going to die from a heart attack, or whether a motor car accident, whether some other thing, but everyone has to die. There is no doubt about that. And the thing is not to waste a life. We might save a life, but if the life is still wasted, what is the use of it? And the real wastage of a life is not only of this dunya, but moreover of akhirah. If a person hasn't got iman, you save the life, you save the whole world's lives. But if they haven't got iman, it's a life wasted, completely wasted. And how terribly wasted without iman, whether it can be rich people living in huge bungalows and huge palaces and mansions, or whether it is people who are living in tent shanties, who are living in informal settlements, but without iman, all those lives are being wasted. And today we just have to think, as we travel to work, we go around, where and where we travel, just think all these people, if they haven't got iman, lives are being wasted. And all what Namath Allah gave for this dunya, Allah gave within ourselves, our brains, our eyes, the heart, the body, everything functions, all this is going for waste. What great namath of Allah, what great qudrat of Allah. And a person didn't find, recognize Allah, he didn't find Allah Ta'ala, he doesn't believe in Allah, it's a life wasted. Whether it's a person, they can have big university degrees also, you can be the top politician of the world also, you can be the ruler of the biggest country of the world also, but if there isn't iman, it's a life wasted. So we have to think that how many lives are being wasted. And then if we have got iman, then think how much of my time is being wasted, how much of my money is being wasted, how much of my energy is being wasted. And the real life is not for this dunya. That what we do, I went for shopping, I bought this, I bought that, over the weekend I'm going to work in the house, I'm going to fix up this, I'm going to fix up that, I bought all that. But if it isn't going to help us in the akhirah, then think, have we accomplished something, or have we just wasted our time? In all our things we can make our own decision. That the little example that we usually give, for some reason we got late at the airport, they checked us in and they told us, you only got 8 minutes to make it for the gate. Otherwise the gate is going to close and they won't take you. They won't. You won't be able to travel. So you only have got 8 minutes to reach the gate. And you look at your time, you see you have only got 6 minutes. And so you are short of time, you are short of 2 minutes in order to make it to the gate. So how are you going to rush? At such time, we see people at the airports also, irrespective of other people, they'll jump the queue, they'll go through, they'll perhaps just say, please excuse me, and they're going. And you've got your wife and your children with you also. A little child of yours, 5, 6 years, sees a PlayStation. and he says, I want to play now on their PlayStation. Your mind goes out, you're out of your mind. And then your wife says, what's wrong if he plays? Is there anything wrong for him to play? At that time when you're short of time. Eh? So how you grab him and how you go, really for the akhirat, we've got 60, 70 years average lifespan, we have been told. Most of the people are less than this. Some people may make it to 190, and usually when you're old age, now you can't really do anything also. What you can do was roughly till the age of 40, 50. After that, your health also goes down. Now you want to do for akhirat also. Now all what you want to do, you can't do. So we are short of time. Even if we get a 60, 70 year lifespan, really we are short of time. Our first 15 years roughly goes just unmindful. And today not 15 till we reach, even as it is said, bachpan ko ponche, we reach 50, 55. Lekin bachpan abhi nahi gaya. Still we have our time, we haven't still recognized. So we are so short of time. And we have to prepare for a life which is not a hundred, not a thousand, not a 10,000, 100,000, million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, forever and ever. So how short aren't we of time to prepare for that? So really this time Allah has given, if it's without Iman, and that also is that at the time of mort, whether that Iman stays with us. And nobody has got that guarantee. And we hear from time to time people who had so much of Iman and Amal, but when mort came, how the mort came. So we have got no guarantee whatsoever. And so with this, we have to be preparing all the time for that eternal life, to make our Iman strong, to protect our Iman, to be concerned of our Iman, and all the time, and the onslaughts on Iman from all four sides. And we are still in ghaflat. We are still thinking of picnics, and we are thinking of holidays, and we are thinking of all other things we are doing, while our Iman is so dangerous. If a person has got $10,000, $100,000, and he knows that there are crooks all around him, and he knows also the receiver is behind him, and he's still enjoying, and he's still laughing, and he's not worried anything. Our Iman, which is the most valuable, and shaitan and nafs, which are shaitan, which is after our Iman, that is his final target, to take us away from this Iman. And we still just unmindful, no worry whatsoever. So we have to worry a lot. It's very important that we have this concern for our Iman. And then as far as our time is concerned, consider we have to be preparing for akhirat. Now our time, I go for a holiday, for 1 week holiday, 10 days holiday, think, is this going to help me in my akhirat or not? I spend my time in my garden, I spend so much money on my garden, is this really going to help me in my akhirat or not? Whatever we are doing, let us make our own decision. I'm worried about my clothes so much, I'm worried about my car so much, washing of the car, servicing of the car. We are not saying all these things mustn't be done and neglected, but think, everyone think for himself, how much is this going to help me for in my deen? How much is this going to help me in my akhirat? If we are doing these things, we are earning money, and we're spending on ourselves, spending in the path of Allah, it's helping us for akhirat. We've got our cars, we are using it for deen's work, coming for namaz regularly, coming for programs, going in jamaat, etc., helping out people. Really, there were those people, Allah give us all tawfiq. Their cars, what they use more than themselves, they used it for other people. Haji Sulaiman Majid of Hackworth, marhum, has passed away. One of the great many qualities he had, farm people used to come on a Juma to town and to do their shopping and everything, make Juma namaz also. So he was a person that he should ask all the people around him, even the non-Muslims, anyone got work in town, when they come to town, and especially in those days, and he should do everyone's work before his work. then he should do his own work. So if we're using our cars and we're using our time for good things like that, how many of our buzurgs who should go out of their ways to do shopping for those people who have got nobody to do their shopping for them? They should go and do their shopping. So anyway, all what we have got, we see also with regard to all our, how lives are being wasted. Look at the rehab centers. People who are in the rehab centers, and who is not there? And lives are being wasted like this. Young girls' lives are being wasted. Young boys' lives are being wasted with these drugs, with alcohol, with all this partying and all these funny things. And today all for this Halloween parties are quite common amongst our people also. Just in the name of a birthday party, but the theme is a Halloween party. And our women dressing like witches for this. And unfortunately at this moment, with all this lockdown, with all this cartoons and things, but still we got time for this. How we wasting our time, how we wasting our money, lives are getting wasted. We can't believe it. Good families, a boy committed suicide, a girl committed suicide, a life wasted. And life is so valuable, but it is just being wasted. We are thinking of saving lives, but lives are just getting wasted. Our time, how we are wasting our time. We are just whiling our time away. We will play a game of Monopoly. We will spend, today perhaps it's no more all those nights, all on the phone. All the games that we will play. Watching a film, how much? And one moment is so valuable. More valuable than that, so that 2 minutes of the person that he has to save in order to make it to the gate. We also have to make it to the gate of a mort. And we have to make it with Iman there. And our amal also, it's not just a matter of making amal, man ja'a bil hasanati. Not a person, man amil al hasana, a person who does a good deed, but who comes with it. Then after we do so many things, but we made a hajj, we went in jamaat, we so many people got hidayat, we met people, and then we came, we gave karguzari, shaitan took the better of us. And we gave our karguzari such a way, we achieved something. We did this, so lot work, and there suddenly everything is washed away. We went for hajj, we went for umrah, Allah gave us tawfiq. 2-3 hours, 4 hours at night in the haram, tawaf, etc. And we came back, and there we just, shaitan made us, that we just went and burst about it, and everything. So time is so limited, our energy is so limited, our money is so limited, and we have got a preparation for a life that has got no end whatsoever. And we have to save ourselves in this little time from that Jahannam that we can't even think about it. Imagine the people who are in it, and for just to think about just the slightest punishment of Jahannam, the least punishment, we can't think about it, and this time is to save ourselves from that. And we have to make our Jannat, and the Jannat has got the Rajat, stages and stages, and all the different Jannat, and yet we have our time is to be preparing for that, our energy is for that. If Allah Ta'ala gave us any capabilities and qualities, it's for that. I spend my life in university, I got degrees, etc. But as far as my akhirat, let me decide for myself, how much is this going to help me in my qabr? In my akhirat, how much is it going to help me? Whatever else, I did business, I became a tycoon. How many shops I've got, how many factories I've got, how many all other investments I've got. But really, let me see, I know myself, how much is this helping me in akhirat? How much am I using it for deen? How much am I using it in the right? How much am I using it in the wrong? Allah gave me all this. There are those people who, mashallah, are very wealthy, and they live simple lives. There are those people today who are very wealthy, but if you think of it, you see them, it's just like an ordinary, who's living like hand to mouth. All the money is being spent on the poor, the needy, masjids, madrasas, boreholes, poor people, people who are hungry, etc. The money is being spent. So each one of us thinks that my time, where am I going? And just think of it for the Akhirat. Nobody is going to come back to, nobody is going to stay forever in this dunya, nobody is going to come back to this dunya. Our life is permanently for the Akhirat. And it is our yaqeen, our iman. And if it is weak, it makes no difference to the fact that that is the real life. And we all know we're going to die. Inshallah, nobody has got a doubt about that. That I think I'm going to live forever. We all have to live. Whether I hope to live for 100 years or perhaps 200 years, I think that I will live for. But I have to go. Everyone has to go from this dunya. And that is the real life. Whatever I'm doing, whenever I'm sitting, whatever I'm thinking, is this helping me for my Akhirat? Or is it a waste of time? Or is it harmful for my Akhirat? Am I doing things? If I'm involved in some guna, I'm destroying my nakis, my good deeds I'm destroying, my Akhirat I'm destroying, my iman, and we're making it weak all the time. And it mustn't happen that my iman leaves me also. The company I'm keeping, is this company taking me, making my iman strong? Is my company helping me for my Akhirat? Or is my company destroying my Akhirat? What kind of company am I keeping? Who am I associating with? We've got now, it's summer, the days are long, and they are getting longer as we will go. Now the Sunday, for example, comes, the weekend comes. My weekend, and how many weekends we have spent? Was my weekend, is it profitable for me for my Akhirat or not? As far as our business is concerned, we will look after, we will make sure that today small things also, we want to make maximum profit on it. We don't want to waste time in our business, etc. Now exam times for many people, and a student also realized, I can't waste my time. I have to be preparing for my exam. If I'm going to waste my time, this is the time, like for example, 15 December comes till 25 December. Retailers get very busy during this time. Now at this time, somebody hangs a notice that is on his shop door that I've gone for fishing. At the time when this was his main business day, and he says he's gone fishing now for 10 days. So like that, really our Akhirat. Keep that really in mind. It is not my business, it is not my exam, it is not this thing. A Muslim, a mu'min, all the time is Akhirat. Is this going to help me in my Akhirat, or am I at a loss in my Akhirat? That is the real life. All that I'm doing, I see my house, big mansion, very big. But is this house going to be a palace for me in the Akhirat? Is the namaz in my house? Are the commands of Allah? Is my house like the palaces of Fir'aun and Namrud? Or is it like the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Which house does it compare to? Which is it more closer to? My transport, my car, is it a car of the people of this dunya? All the people of this dunya, or is it more a transport like that, which was the simple transport of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Which side am I? All these things that we have to consider. It isn't just a matter of passing our life. It's not a matter of saving lives. It's a matter of making our life for the Akhirat. And not making it in this dunya, but making it for the Akhirat. The eternal, everlasting life of the Akhirat. We have to keep that in mind all the time. That how am I going to fare there? And then of course, there is Hisab Kitab in front of Allah. It is mentioned in a hadith that the people who are in Barzakh, that is the people who are in the life of the Qabr, how many millions of people are there? They are like drowning people, just hoping for some support. And whoever makes the salih thawab for them, it is like mountains and mountains of help that has come for them. If we make dua and maghfirat for them, and in our hearts now make dua for maghfirat for our marhumeen. And whatever sawab we have done, sitting here in the gathering is an act of sawab. Pass the sawabs to our marhumin. They are so much. Never forget our parents, our asatiza, all the marhumeen, make dua for them. It is a source of great goodness for them and for us also. So Allah has given us this life. It's a very precious and a very valuable life. Not a life to be wasted. Not a life, we understand in drugs how a person lives his life. And how many people with the wrong company, etc. We know in our communities, we know in our families, Allah protect us all. One person is involved like this, how it, the whole, everything is destroyed. And people who are illicit, extramarital affairs, illicit love affairs, how they destroy not themselves, the children also, the wives also, or the wife is destroying the husband also, all these things. And we are just still very carefree. Nothing worries us. When this lockdown couldn't wake us up, and then this pandemic couldn't wake us up, and the what things have been said of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but still it's not waking us up. Then what is going to wake us up? May Allah Ta'ala let us understand, while we're waiting for the time when Malakul Maut will come, and then he's going to be taking our ruh, and we made no preparation for that journey. Just imagine an ordinary journey that I want to go from here to Lens, for example, just a really quick, I want to go anywhere near here, and I've got no arrangement for it. I have to go, but I haven't got a car, I haven't arranged with somebody to go, I haven't arranged some taxi fare, I haven't find out where can I get a taxi. When Maut will come, that is a journey, whether we like it or not, if we haven't prepared. That famous instance of Bahlul, who was a great buzurg, but today also, unfortunately, people who become more conscious of Akhirat, people say, just leave them alone now, they're in a different world. Or people will just say, they off their rockers or something, they're not in their proper senses. So Bahlul was also a person like that. So he was in the time of the King Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid, also everyone took him like a person who was a mad person. He gave him his walking stick and he told him, if you get somebody more stupid, somebody more mad than yourself, give it to him. So after some time he heard that the king is ill. And Harun al-Rashid was a pious person also. So he came and visited him again. He said, okay, that you are ill. So he said, that stick, did you give it to somebody? So he asked him, that, O king, you have to go through a lot of travels you have to do to oversee the country, affairs of the country, things are running right. Whenever you went, did you prepare for? He said, of course, yes. And that's a person with intellect. He prepares where he's going to stay, all the people with him, where they're going to stay, the food arrangements, everything in detail we should make, security arrangements, everything. So he says, now Maut is going to come. What arrangements have you made for Maut? And really, we have to think, we are like pious, what we call ourselves pious, five times namaz, tilawat, but really those are our duties that we have to do. Somebody gave you a loan, you pay back the loan. That is, you just doing your basic duty. And to do more than that for Akhirat, this is good that we are doing, but really for that life which is forever. If somebody, you get married, you bring your wife to your house, I got a house for her, but no furniture, she can stay, there's no problem. She can sleep on the floor, you can sleep on the floor. You have got no arrangement, but you see to what detail when the wife is coming. What the finest things in the bedroom, in every, the whole house, everything. Not only the house, the garden also has to be perfect, everything. For our Akhirah, when we just suffice on the very basics of what we have to do. So Harun al-Rashid, he said, no, I didn't prepare for that. So he gave him the stick to him. He said, you are the most stupid person I found. You deserve to take the stick. So really, our life is for the Akhirat. Let us see that how, and all people's, billions of people's of lives are being wasted. Now what can I do? I can't do anything. I can make dua. Whatever other effort, I can give somebody nasihat, whoever, Muslim, non-Muslim, give them some nasihat, give some da'wah, speak to the people, and dua, nobody can say, I can't make dua. Even a dumb person can make dua. Everyone can make dua. and ask, I'm asking myself, am I making dua for all the people in the world? How am I making? For the people who are drug addicts, what can I do? It's a lost case, a drug addict. The rehab centers don't help them. Nobody can help them. But dua, can't I make a dua? The dua I can make. People who have got other bad habits, filthy, dirty habits, nobody can help them. Doctors have written off a person, we can't help him, take him home now. We can't. But dua you can make. Are we making some dua? The onslaughts on Islam from every side. What can I do as an individual? The ummah today has become yatim, has become orphan. Nobody to oversee the ummah. The people who we expect, who control the holy lands, and that they will be protecting and safeguarding Islam, they are selling Islam. So who must I turn to? Who is going to do? But haven't I got my Allah? Isn't my Allah above everything? Hasn't Allah given me that attachment to Him by dua, where I can attach myself and make dua to Allah? And by that, wallah, Allah will give us that contentment. Otherwise, people are so depressed, that despondent, no hope, nowhere there is no sight of any hope anywhere. So Allah has given us, let us think, to save lives is very good, but don't waste the lives, don't waste our time, don't waste our money, don't waste our energies. All this Allah has given us, let us see, am I really making it valuable or not? And don't worry what people say. I have to worry of my akhirah. People will pass enough remarks, and there is no shortage of all the comments and the remarks. And we have to say, and that remarks are not going to help us also in any way. We see our qabr, our akhirah, gunas we all have made, and we are making. Allah has given us the great ni'mat and the great door of tawbah. Let us make our tawbah, istighfar, turn to Allah Ta'ala and ask Him. Even the time that we have wasted, money we have wasted, our lives we have wasted, Allah Ta'ala changes around everything. And Allah is so merciful. All the wrong that we done, He turns it into good deeds. And He adds good deeds to it. When Allah is so merciful, and He's our Allah, and Allah is there, why don't we turn to Him? Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.